Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time to hook up with the mad scientist himself, our lead analyst on Sports Grid, Warren Sharp from SharpFootballAnalysis.com, at SharpFootball on X. You see him here on Coast to Coast every Thursday as we gear up for a big game tonight at the Dog Pound in Cleveland between the Jets and Browns, Warren.
Yeah, great to be here. Obviously looking forward to this slate. Week 8, 17, one more week after this one. And this last Thursday night game of the year features two defensive-oriented teams, one of which has been showing some more explosiveness and fireworks in terms of the Cleveland Browns. But that's actually not really the way that you want to attack this defense of the New York Jets. You know, we've seen Joe Flacco push the ball down the field, have some success with explosives to Amari Cooper. But the way that you really want to attack this Jets defense is on the ground, actually. And the Cleveland Browns don't have a lot of efficiency because their offensive line is beat up. Their running backs aren't healthy any longer. So they're dealing with some third, fourth string running backs taking carries behind some replacements along the offensive line. They haven't had this success on the ground as they've had in some years. So that's the big question for me in this one, Scott, is will they be able to salt away a lead in this game to win by margin? Because if the Jets aren't making mistakes offensively, and I do have a couple of props that we could talk about momentarily, then I don't see them really getting out of this game because I think that they're going to have the ability to hang around and hang around and hang around in what should be a low-scoring and ugly contest.
You know, I'm just really intrigued by that sweet fire you got going over your shoulder. He's got it all going. The logs are crisp. He got a fire going. He's ready for a little Thursday night, or he's ready for New Year's Eve, getting ready for New Year's Day, a lot of football. We're almost done with the NFL season. So what props do you have for this game tonight? You got something special in your bag of tricks?
I do. These aren't my strongest of the week. We're going to be talking about some of my strongest of the week that I'm really excited about. Right now we've got, let's go with Trevor Siemian passing yards under 177.5. I think Trevor Siemian is, as most quarterbacks do in this situation, going to struggle. Last week, the New York Jets, we'll talk about another prop momentarily, went up against the Washington Commanders. Everybody has success against the Washington Commanders. That's no real surprise. But Trevor Siemian, I think, is going to struggle to hit the peak of these numbers. I do think he's going to pass the ball a lot, which is why there's an interesting element here. You could do same game parlays, combine different props of the same game together. And one way that you can kind of mess with the algorithms a little bit in these is to bet like this quarterback to go under his passing yards, but over his passing attempts. And the algorithm is trying to figure out why would somebody be betting these two things? They don't seem correlated whatsoever. They're inversely correlated. Let's give them a higher payout. And so you get a higher payout when you do something like that. And I actually don't think that that's the worst idea in the world here, because Trevor Siemian is going to be dropping back to pass the ball a fair amount. I don't see the Jets leading in this game for very long stretches. And as a result, they are going to have to throw the ball a lot. The Jets, I want to say 7 of the last 8 games, the Jets quarterback, obviously they've cycled through some different guys, has gone over 35 pass attempts. And quarterbacks against the Browns since Flacco became their quarterback have been going over those attempts as well, because Flacco scores quickly. There's some bigger plays, and Flacco and the Browns have been leading games more, forcing these other teams to pass from behind. So though I don't like Siemian to have a good day from a yardage perspective, I do see him dropping back to pass the ball fairly frequently. Another one that I don't love quite as much because of an element to this game that I think is going to be intriguing to watch, Scott, and that is the explosive running of Breece Hall. Now, he had a good game against Washington last week. He got a lot of work last week. But as we discussed, Washington is terrible. The Cleveland Browns have one of the best run defenses in the NFL. But I keep saying this every single week, that they allow an explosive run to an opposing running back seemingly religiously. Like every single game, they are giving up an explosive run. And last week with the Houston Texans, we saw Singletary have multiple explosive runs, flipping the field position in favor of the Houston Texans, because this Cleveland Browns team, they over pursue, they overplay certain things, and then they're giving up gashing runs on the ground. So this is why I can't bet Breece Hall pure rushing under, nor can I bet his longest rush under, because he is an explosive back. The O-line just stinks. That's why he hasn't had much space to work with. But I'm going to be intrigued to see if he can get an explosive run in this game. But I'm looking at the under in his rushing and receiving yards here combined, because I'm looking to fade what he did last week against the Washington Commanders on the road in a difficult place to play, against a defense that seems to play better at home, and that's the Cleveland Browns. We see a lot of these offenses. We'll talk later, Scott, about the Dallas Cowboys play better at home. The Miami Dolphins play better at home. Some of these offenses play better at home. The Cleveland Browns defense plays better at home.
There's no doubt. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 159 Sports Byline, and their affiliates out of San Francisco, Deepak, holding it down for us. What did you think when you saw that Jet team blow that 27-7 lead? I know they won the game, but that was ugly.
Yeah, and I was just waiting to see if, like, the Commanders and the ownership there would fire Ron Rivera after that. They obviously decided not to. The team came back. I guess he's on it for the long run, but it did not surprise me at all to see them have a lead and to do well, because I felt like the Washington Commanders defense is just that bad that even the Jets led by Simeon was going to have success. And I felt like Washington's offense playing into the teeth. They want to pass the ball. They want to pass the ball to the perimeter. This is why last week on our show, we talked about that Washington and Sam Howell probably would struggle. Once you get down by such a large margin, though, the defense tends to play a little bit more conservatively. They play a little bit differently. You could start gaining yards on some more underneath things and then hope to break something long. And that's how the Washington team got back in this game. It was not a deserving game for them to come back in. It was game state in game flow. So I was a little bit surprised at how the Jets blew that lead, but the right team won that game for sure.
So Njoku and Flacco seem to have a chemistry thing going on. Cooper had the amazing game against Houston, but we were talking about it earlier. He's got this heel problem. How much do you think it's going to hamper him tonight? And does that mean we're going to see more of Flacco to Njoku all night long?
Well, I love the connection between Flacco and Njoku, so I hope that we see a lot of that tonight. It is a way to exploit the New York Jets defense, so I don't hate that at all. Cooper, that's just a big question mark to me. I don't know. He's definitely been impactful. I mean, what do you have, like 260 yards or 70 yards last week? It was insane watching it all unfold. It would have been nice to see that connection tonight. We'll see if he's healthy enough to go. But that Njoku connection is real and has been fun to watch. I love it when a veteran quarterback, has a good connection with the tight end, because I do think that that position is just so difficult to defend. So I love that connection that he has there.
So on Saturday, and we're going to come back and talk about this, Detroit and Dallas at Jerry's World. And then Warren is going to sell me on you can cut up the Ravens defense. Apparently there is a way to attack the Ravens. The Niners and Kyle Shanahan have some time to try to figure it out before the Ravens kick their ass again in the Super Bowl. But that was embarrassing in Santa Clara. More with the Mad Scientist coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can always catch Warren and your boy Uncle Futrelli on Thursdays here on Coast to Coast. But if you don't follow Warren on X... and on his website, there's got to be something wrong with you. It's at Sharp Football on X, sharpfootballanalysis.com. I mean, get in the game, son. What's the problem? All right, Detroit and Dallas. I said earlier on the show, Warren, that after a couple of brutal losses on the road, the Philly, the Miami, and I hit that Miami game laying one by the skin of my teeth, but I think they're going home and they're going to take it out on the Lions. I said the Lions got their big road win in Minnesota thanks to Mullins and his awful performance. They've benched him. Lions got it done in Minny. I say Dallas beats them on Saturday night and takes it out on them because they haven't had any luck lately and they're going to bring it on Saturday.
Well, the home road splits for the Dallas Cowboys are real. We talked about that in the last segment a little bit, but absolutely real. This team is number one in virtually every single critical statistical metric when they play at home. When they go on the road, instead of 63% of their drives ending in scores, only 39% of their drives have ended in scores. Instead of punting on only 18% of the drives on the road, they're punting on 36% of their drives. So they're definitely scoring fewer points at home, and drives are ending with more futility on the road than they are at home. They get this great situation where they play two difficult defenses. They did that on the road in two consecutive games. Now they get to go back home. And I think this Detroit Lions defense is somewhat fugazi from the perspective of they have a very good run defense, but Dallas doesn't care. It's like Honey Badger don't care. Dallas don't care if you're good against the run because they don't really want to run the football anyways. And Dallas is going to come out and throw the football. They have one of the highest pass rates in the NFL. They jump out on teams, and they've been doing that at home. They haven't had that success on the road. But prior to that, I remember we had these conversations, Scott, about how this team was setting the record for 7+ points in the first quarter for like 8 games in a row, and 17+ points in the first half for 7 games in a row. And this had not been done since like the 2007 New England Patriots when they went undefeated during the regular season. So they have been a juggernaut at home scoring points. And when you look at this Detroit Lions defense, okay, this defense ranks worst of any team. They rank 27th. That is the worst defense that the Dallas Cowboys will face at home. The prior worst teams that they've played at home in Dallas were the number 25 Giants and the number 24 Seahawks. They put up 40+ points in both of those games offensively. The Detroit Lions defense is bad against the pass, despite playing the 10th easiest schedule of opposing passing attacks. So I think that there's going to be opportunities and avenues for the Dallas Cowboys to come out here and have success throwing the ball. Maybe Brandon Cooks receiving yards over. I mean, if you look at some of these receivers, the lines that they've set on the total receiving yards are absolutely absurd in this game. But I do believe that from just a betting perspective, I know you like the under. I heard in the last segment with Carver that you were talking about the under. I like the over. Now, granted, I got it at a better number than it's sitting right now, but I just see these two teams coming out. As long as Dallas doesn't get out to too massive of a lead and just completely shut down Jared Goff throwing the football, I think that the Lions are going to have success running the football here. This Cowboys defense can be had on the ground. I expect Jahmyr Gibbs to have a good day on the ground running with the ball, some explosive runs on the ground against Dallas, and I think that this game goes over the total.
You didn't think that Dallas played tough against the run in Miami? I mean, I thought they were violent.
They did, but here's the thing. Both Miami running backs were on the injury report. Both of them are still on the injury report. The Miami Dolphins offensive line is completely beat up and down guys. I think Ragnow came back to practice after missing yesterday. That Lions offensive line is better than the Dolphins in terms of health and talent right now. And the running backs are just healthier for the Detroit Lions. So I agree, after getting gouged by the Buffalo Bills, the Dallas Cowboys run defense did step up here, and you can guarantee that Dan Quinn is going to be drilling into their players. We got to play good against the run here. Will that open some things up in the passing game? I don't know. So maybe they play a little bit better than their season average against the run, and that's really going to be what needs to happen. If they do play great against the run, then chances are they are going to win with margin, and chances are maybe they don't need to score quite as many points here, and this game does not go over the total. But I think in more games than not, if this game was replayed, this would be going over the total.
So Miami and Baltimore in the Charm City, you talk about a way to attack the Ravens with their 12 wins. I haven't seen it yet. How do you do it?
Against the Ravens defense, the thing that Mike McDonald has done really well this year, as well as last year, is they play with light boxes. And when you look at the statistics, it's clear one of the reasons that this pass defense is so good, it confuses quarterbacks. It uses sim pressures, drops guys out into the coverage, blitzes from places that you aren't necessarily expecting. The reason that they can do all of that is because they're playing with light boxes. If you run on them, you can run them out of those light boxes, and they will play with standard box counts, and then you can have success throwing against them. I did not understand why Kyle Shanahan was so quick to turn to the pass. I believe, and this is just total out of left field speculation, that an element of why Kyle was getting Brock Purdy to throw the ball so much in this game, when the runs were having success, I mean, early down runs in the first half of this game, Christian McCaffrey averaged 9.9 yards per carry, plus 0.5 EPA per attempt, 5.6 yards before contact per rush, and 4.3 yards after contact per rush. Those are numbers that you would say, why are we even passing the ball? Let's just keep running until they stop it. But instead, he started passing the ball, and in part, I believe he's maybe trying to prove a point, like we can win. Brock Purdy in the MVP discussion is worthy of this. He can throw touchdowns against the Ravens. We can move the ball through the air. I'm not quite sure why they didn't just stick with the ground game. I was telling them, you know, in these videos that you and I did last week on this show, you come out and run the football. I normally don't say that. I normally am a pass-first advocate. But against the Baltimore Ravens, with the way that they play run defense, the second most light boxes, you got to come out and try to run the football. Now you got this Miami Dolphins team. They are good running the football on the season, and they play with a lot of 21 personnel. That also has had some success against this Baltimore Ravens run defense. They've had trouble defending 21 personnel runs. But the big question that I have is exactly what we talked about in the last spot with the Dallas Cowboys game. That is this Miami Dolphins offensive line healthy enough for them to run block and have success against the Ravens, number one? And number two, will they have the running backs up and healthy for this one? But that's the way you do it. You run the ball a little bit. You make them come back and play with standard box counts. This pass defense ranks number two in the NFL when they get to play with six-man boxes, light boxes. They drop down to league average when they have to stick a seventh man in the box. I mean, it's not rocket science here. It's a numbers game. You have to get them to play with heavier boxes if you're going to want to have success in the passing game.
So, hypothetically, they're still both favored to go to the Super Bowl. If you look at after the fact, the Niners are still the heavy favorite to make it from the NFC, and the Ravens in the AFC. If they were to play again, do you think Kyle Shanahan would get it right and flip the script and do it the way you're saying, or would they bend over again because they get their ass beat?
Yeah, and a large part of that, they were moving the ball. They just had these interceptions. Well, if you're just relying a little bit more on the ground game, I think that the game would end differently. Now, whether they win the game or not, I think the game is close. I think it comes down to the wire. I think it would be a great Super Bowl game if we get it in the rematch. But I absolutely think that Kyle Shanahan should learn a lesson and come out with a little bit more desire to run the ball until they stop it, until they shut your run game down. Because they've loaded the box, then you can start passing the ball a little bit more and be more balanced. But they need to come up with a different strategy. I think he'll learn a lesson from this one.
So when we come back, Warren's going to tap into the Pats and Bills in the B-low. Plus, he's got some sickening props for you from the Falcons, Bears, G-Men, Rams, and Vegas Colts. He's got it all for you. Props. He'll break down the games. We're losing weight over here. We got a ton of action. You're either with us or you aren't. And we're watching bowl games at the same time. And Warren has a fire going in his crib. He's got it all.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
So Warren constantly tries to tell his neighbors when he sees them, you know, taking out the garbage or whatever, getting the mail. He'll just say, you know, you got to get in on the BetMGM 1500 first bet offer. And they look at him like he's speaking Chinese, and it gets them all flustered. But he's right. I mean, think about it. You download the BetMGM app on iOS or Android in the Play Store, or visit BetMGM.com. You sign up. You use the bonus code SG1500, SG1500. He tells them what to do. All they got to do is put $10 in their account, make a bet. If you lose the bet, up to $1,500 back in bonus bets once the wager is settled, how can you lose? You can't lose. His neighbors look at him like he's crazy. Meanwhile, the mad scientist is right again. It's the neighbors that I have a problem with, that they can't get on board with the BetMGM first $1,500 bet offer. I mean, what is wrong with these people? No wonder you should have your own island. Then you wouldn't have to have neighbors. All right. It's time for some of Warren's favorite props going into this weekend. We'll start with the Falcones of Art Smith and the Bears. I believe it's Soldier Field. He's got a little Bijan mustard prop for us.
Yeah, first of all, who can turn down $1,500? You got to take advantage of that offer because obviously that's incredible. But with regard to Bijan Robinson, this is a situation where these two teams actually defensively are very similar in that they're very good and stout against running back runs, but they're very susceptible to running back passes. And if you look at a team like the Chicago Bears, this team actually ranks number 4, number 6, and number 5 in terms of yards per carry, EPA, and success rate to running back runs on early downs. In fact, they're allowing only 3.6 yards per carry to early down running back runs this season. However, if you throw the ball to these running backs out of the backfield instead of hand it off, you are gaining 7.5 yards per target, which is the most in the NFL, aka the Chicago Bears defense is the worst defense in the NFL from a yards per attempt standpoint when teams throw the ball to running backs. Also, they rank 31st in EPA and 26th in success rate against running back passes. You're going to have opportunities here. The Falcons have been utilizing Bijan Robinson a little bit more over the course of the later stretch of the season. I think you're going to have opportunities for them to say, look, we could run the ball at the Bears and not get much accomplished, or we can throw the ball to Bijan a little bit more frequently. I think that they'll opt to utilize the latter strategy. I think that there's some opportunities here for him to go over 3.5 receptions. That's plus 130. I'm giving you almost like a long shot prop here. I think he's going to have at least 4 receptions on Sunday against the Chicago Bears in Chicago. I think the Bears, they're favored in this game. If the Bears jump out to a lead, you're not going to have as many running attempts from the Atlanta Falcons against a really solid run defense. Look to utilize Bijan Robinson through the air. Now, I bet his receiving yards over as well. That's like 21.5, 22.5, but I do prefer the receptions a little bit more.
It never ceases to amaze me how a guy like Art Smith, who many believe was going to get whacked at the end of the season. And then, you know, a couple of days ago, you heard that they're not getting rid of him. Their plan is to continue on with Art and the GM. It is truly amazing to me, though, that you have a guy that talented and you don't just use him all the time. Like, I mean, if that guy were on my team, I would throw to him 7 to 8, 9 times a game, and I'd let him carry it 25 times. I mean, like, Gibbs, Jameson Williams, who in their right mind doesn't give these speedsters the rock? Who doesn't give Bijan Mustard the rock? You wonder why people wanted to fire Art. Like, they don't give this guy the ball enough.
Well, I will say this. I don't disagree with you with regard to Bijan Robinson. In Art Smith's defense, teams tend to go as far as their quarterbacks can take him. He came there and started Marcus Mariota for most of the year. Then he switched over to Desmond a little bit last year and Desmond most of this year. Like, he's Mariota awful. And Desmond aren't good. Both these quarterbacks are terrible. So, like, the last we really seen Art Smith with, like, a reasonable quarterback was Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. He was getting the number one overall seed. They were beating the Kansas City Chiefs in certain games. So, like, I do think that Art Smith has had his struggles and ups and downs this season and needs to be better. But I absolutely think we want to see what he can do with an actual reasonable quarterback here before we say he absolutely can't get things done.
Well, look, fair enough. I'm with you. I'm down. I'm completely in agreement. How hard is it in the NFL to dump the ball off to Bijan Robinson 3-4 yards off line of scrimmage? I don't care if a dog is playing quarterback. It's the easiest play in the NFL to dump the ball off to a guy that talented or even swing it to him in the flat and let him go to work. Like,
hopefully we both get our wish this weekend, because I got the over in his reception. I completely agree. Take all the thought process out of Taylor Heinicke and you just throw the ball to Bijan as quickly as possible.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm going to bet it. You got to give the guy to Rock. All right, G-Men Rams in Lipstick City. You got a couple of plays for me here. A total, and then there's my guy Gibbs again. See, it doesn't take long for you to find the talent.
No, it does not. Now, we'll talk about this Rams-Giants game. I like the over in this spot. You could still get the best value probably right now is betting the first half over, but I bet the full over at a better number than this. I think Tyrod Taylor makes a big difference. We've seen it through the NFL late in the season. These coaches are dealing with backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks that aren't great, and as soon as these offensive-minded coaches can get rid of those quarterbacks, if they either get injured or they're not working out and they decide to bench them, go with somebody else, they want to showcase that, like, hey, I'm not a bad coach. It's just my quarterback who wasn't helping. And so I think with Tyrod Taylor being involved for the Giants, I think they're going to be utilizing him to throw the ball down the field a little bit more. I think he's going to be better at diagnosing when he should scramble with the football as well to keep drives alive and convert plays on third downs when he needs to with his legs. I think that he's going to bring more upside to this New York Giants offense. And the interesting thing about this Rams defense is they're the number one most susceptible defense to play action of any team in the NFL. If you utilize play action against them, especially down the stretch of the season, but over the course of the year, they're still bottom 10. But since week 10, they are the worst defense in the NFL when you use play action against them. However, they are one of the best defenses when you don't utilize play action. So the Giants need to step up their play action rate with Tyrod Taylor. They also have a ref in this game who calls a ton of defensive pass interference and defensive holding penalties. So do not be surprised if we see a couple of deep shots down the field where maybe Slayton is getting tugged or interfered with and they get a spot foul on a defensive pass interference call. On the other side of things, we already know Matthew Stafford, when he's paired with Kyren Williams and Cooper Kupp, which they've only been for the last several weeks because of injuries right to both of those guys earlier in the year, these guys are putting up like 30 points, basically guaranteed.
Every week.
The only game that they didn't was 28 against Washington. They should have had more. They had a couple fumbles down in scoring territory on their way to the end zone. Otherwise, it's 37, 36, 31, and 30 points in the other five games that they played. I think that they're going to be able to do their part to score points so long as Matthew Stafford doesn't get flustered with the blitzes. He hasn't been as good against the blitz. As long as he does not get flustered by Wink Martindale's blitz schemes, gets the ball out, maybe there's some long run after the catches by Puka Nacua. We could see some really good things here from the receiving core, and you can run on the New York Giants as well. So the Rams should be balanced and should have success whether they're throwing or running the football.
And Gibbs, you like his over on what? Longest rush? Is that what you're selling?
100%. Jahmyr Gibbs, longest rush, over 14.5. We already broke down this game, the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs has gone over this number in six straight games. And in, I want to say, 9 out of his last 10 games, he's gone over this number, even against some of the defenses that are really good against the run. You made a good point that Dallas sort of patched some things up and looked a little bit better defensively against the run versus the Miami Dolphins. I still think there are going to be plenty of opportunities for a quarterback that's somewhat limited, could be under a lot of pressure in Jared Goff, to hand the ball off to Jahmyr Gibbs to get some spark on the ground here against a defense that you do want to be able to attack on the ground that has given up some rushing yards. So I think over in the longest rushing attempt from Jahmyr Gibbs is definitely a bet I love this week.
All right, and what about the Pats and Bills? We talked, Carver High and I didn't want to hear it because he's a huge Bills fan, that I said I don't trust them as far as I can spit. Like, they can't handle the Chargers, who quit 5 weeks ago, and they almost got beat. I'll give them this. They won on the last second field goal. I don't trust them with that big fat number against the Pats and that defense.
Yeah, this game's interesting because that was a terrible spot for them going on the road against the Chargers right before Christmas, and they had some issues there getting started quickly and then letting a bad team much worse than you hang around. The issue with this game against the Patriots is the simple fact that the Bills clearly want to try to run the football, right? They were running James Cook a lot against the Chargers for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure why they weren't throwing him the football at all after throwing the ball to him a ton and having excellent success the prior several weeks. They literally did not throw him a single target in the last week's game against the Chargers, just ran him on the ground. Well, that's a problem against this Patriots team. If you just simply try to hand the ball off to your running backs, you're not going to have a lot of success. This Patriots run defense is absolutely balling out. They're playing really good football right now. Baltimore is a beast and they're slowing down the run tremendously. And so you're going to have to attack them. They are susceptible to running back passes. So I would like to see the Bills utilize a little bit of running back passes here, get back to that. It was working previously, but right now you've got like Stephon Diggs. He's not really on the same page as Josh Allen. And this defense obviously gave them enough trouble earlier on this season, whereby the Patriots won that game outright. So I don't see any value here in laying the number with the Buffalo Bills. I'm a little reluctant to take it with the New England Patriots, but I could see that way being the side if it all came down to it.
So when we come back, Warren's going to break down 9 remaining games in the NFL pain day style. We're going to hit them all, including my Steelers, who haven't won in Seattle in 40 years.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Rutgers just blocked a Miami punt in the end zone and scored a touchdown, and the extra points are up 21-17 on Miami. And Warren did mention in the break that my language was abhorrent after Miami gave up the blocked punt. He said, your language was absolutely abhorrent. That is a very harsh word to use on me, although my language was abhorrent. We have 9 games to hit here, Warren. I'm clean mouth now. No more potty mouth. No more soap in the mouth. We'll start with Vegas and the Colts in Naptown in India, Lucas Oil. And the Colts need this one bad after that egg they laid last week.
Hey, no issues with cursing and betting on sports. These two go hand in hand, whatever, Rice. But with this game, I don't really know what we're getting here from this Indianapolis Colts team. Certainly the Raiders continue to play above their heads. This Colts team crashed and burned last week, didn't show up. We got nothing out of Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he came back after being injured and it was just a upper body injury, I think with his hand or thumb or something. And he looked like he had no juice, no gas. Now I mentioned before that the Atlanta Falcons are good against the run. They also were without Michael Pittman Jr. We'll see if Pittman Jr. is up for this game yet. I don't know as of right now if he's been cleared. But there's opportunities here to attack from the Raiders against this Colts run defense. Even though they got Grover Stewart back, they were giving up yards in bunches on the ground last week to the aforementioned Atlanta Falcons. So I don't really have a play in this one. 3.5 is a big number. I would not feel comfortable laying that with the Indianapolis Colts here. But I've yet to get myself convinced that I want to take this Raiders team on the road with those points after a big upset over the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, you got to at least tell me what you thought of that beatdown of what they did to Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I said on our show last week, you can run on the Chiefs, but how are the Raiders going to stay close enough, long enough to be able to run all 4 quarters? I thought they wouldn't be in the game long enough to be able to do that. Naturally, you got the interceptions, turnovers by the Kansas City Chiefs of Patrick Mahomes. They're just not playing focused. It looks like that's one of the biggest things to me. I know they lack talent in certain areas this year. Understood. They aren't quite as good and strong of a team. They also seem to lack focus, and you can't lack focus when you're not quite as good as you once were. You have to be buttoned up, and you're not going to be the same team you were before, but you'll only be a little bit worse. Right now, the way that they're lacking focus, they're playing significantly worse than they have in past years.
I thought that white run late in the, 2 minutes left in the game, and he went around the right side and went 50 yards. That was good night, Irene. They ran it down their throats the entire game. You were dead on as usual, Warren, with that one. All right, Arizona and Philly at the link. They're laying 10.5, 48's the number.
You know, the Philadelphia Eagles continue to frustrate me. I don't really understand what is going on with this offense because they have the same talent. They're not lacking in talent like the Kansas City Chiefs were from years past. They've got good talent. And yet they come out last week against the New York Giants, a run defense that ranks number 26. And in the early downs on the first half of the game, 9 running back runs, they're gaining 26 yards. That's 2.9 yards per carry against the number 26th ranked run defense. And then when Jalen Hurts is dropping back to pass, this is still a continued frustration for me for the Philadelphia Eagles. On first downs, he is averaging just 5.6 air yards per attempt. Last year, that was up at 9.7 air yards per attempt. He's been holding the ball for almost 3 seconds. He had 9 dropbacks. Only one of those did he even throw the ball beyond 10 yards down the field. So everything is short. They can't run the football, and that's against a bad New York Giants run defense. They should have success against the Cardinals. The Cardinals don't get pressure. The Cardinals play soft. You can run on the Cardinals. But right now, I'm just not trusting this Philadelphia Eagles offense to execute to the talent level that they've got on their roster. So I'm not willing to lay the points here, even though I think that this Cardinals team is not very good at all.
How about Tampa? They're hosting the Saints. They're laying 2.5. 42.5 is the number. This guy, Baker Mayfield, last week, I mean, the game was over at the end of the first quarter.
He has been playing great. I mean, I don't know, honestly, I know Dave Canales loves to run the football. They could lean even more into the pass and have success the way that Baker Mayfield and these wide receivers are playing together. But you look at this team, they're going up against a team that is really good. Actually, Derek Carr, for all his faults, has been very good against the blitz this year. He's top 5 to top 8 quarterback in yards per attempt, completion percentage when he's blitzed. And so if they can distribute the ball, we know the Bucs blitz at the third highest rate of any defense. If he could distribute the ball, I think that the Saints, with Olave back, with Rashid Shaheed back, you know, they were missing these guys for a little while. These guys are back now. Does not explain to me why they couldn't score very many points until late in the game last week, because I think that they need to score points earlier, because I don't feel like the Bucs are going to struggle to put up points against the Saints defense. The Saints clearly appears to be the quote-unquote side taking money. This line has dropped as low as 2. Definitely a favorite of the sharp groups, but if you're looking at betting the Saints, you're going to have to not only get the Saints to come out and Derek Carr to play well against the blitz, but they also have to be able to score points down inside of the red zone. And they continue to struggle in that department. So they either need to score with explosive plays or down inside of the red zone if they want any shot. The Bucs certainly are fired up here trying to win a division in this home game, week 17.
The Niners go to the dump in Landover. They're laying 13, 49.5 is the number. San Francisco reeling off the Ravens game, but they get to play the Commodes.
They do. We need to see how their injury report is looking. Are they going to bring along Trent Williams? Is he going to be playing? Are some of these other guys that got banged up? I mean, they were losing guys left and right along that offensive line in last week's loss to the Baltimore Ravens at home. Do they have these guys in Washington for this game? Because if they don't, they may not have as easy of a task, but I think they're going to have success running the football. I would feel more confident about that opinion if Trent Williams was there. But this Washington defense is terrible against the run. Almost anybody can run the football against them. And some of the criticism that I just mentioned at the top of the show, Kyle Shanahan throwing the ball a little bit too much with Brock Purdy. They needed to run it when they were having success on the ground. I think that they return back to, let's just win this game the easiest method possible. Let's come out here. Let's run the ball. Let's get this victory. Get back on the right track here. I don't think there's any need for style points. I don't think there's any need for going over the top here, trying to make a case for Brock Purdy MVP, because he's out of that discussion based upon that last game that we just saw. What I'm interested to see is, does Jacoby Brissett make this offense for Washington any better? We know that Sam Howell was miserable. Brissett can't be worse, but how much better is he actually going to be here against the San Francisco 49ers defense?
Carolina's in Jacksonville. The Jags are laying 6.5. 38 is the number. I heard you talking about Trevor Lawrence earlier, like in a break. I mean, I think they've melted like an ice cream cone, this team.
It's so wild to me that you've got the AFC South leader, the AFC West leader, in the Jaguars and the Chiefs. Both are slated to be the third and fourth seed in the AFC playoffs. Both of them are on multi-game losing streaks. Both of them are wondering when we're going to get back on track. It's just so weird, the parallels there. Teams looked much better earlier on in the season. Now just are falling apart down the stretch when you want to be coming together. But the Jaguars, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not throwing the football right now. He's not practicing with the team. He's a game removed from a concussion that we didn't know if he was going to play. I mean, the guy is tough as nails. I'd say that every single week because he's always dealing with an injury, but he keeps playing and he hasn't missed a game and yada, yada, yada. We all know that. And so the odds that he's going to play this game are probably pretty high because he wants to tough it out. He wants to keep that streak of playing in these games going. But how efficient is he going to be? And then you got the Carolina Panthers team. It's probably not going to wow you. I looked at the stats. Every single team that has played the last 7 weeks against the Green Bay Packers the prior week comes back down to earth. Six of the seven games go under the total of the last seven teams that have played the Green Bay Packers. That's because Joe Barry's Packers defense is terrible and makes bad offenses look good, which is what the Carolina Panthers offense looked like last season. I think they're going to come down to earth here. But in what could be a potentially lower scoring game without Trevor Lawrence chucking the ball deep down the field and some injuries at wide receiver, could the Carolina Panthers stay in this game? Could we get a lower scoring game that potentially one score? Absolutely. I could see that happening. So I lean a little bit to the Carolina Panthers here, but I want to see where this number goes if Trevor Lawrence gets upgraded or downgraded here and try to be quick to the number if he does get downgraded.
So Houston is laying 5.5 at home against Tennessee, 43.5 the number. I'm hearing Stroud has cleared protocol.
It looks like the opportunity for Stroud to come back and just have a great game against a defense. It's a pass funnel. You can throw the football on them. Nico Collins is up. Nico should have a good game here. But my reservation here is just that we've seen quarterbacks off of concussions, especially being on a concussion for 2 weeks now. Is he going to be 100%? Even if he is 100%, are they going to call the game as if he's 100%? Or are they going to maybe up their run rate a little bit more, even though runs aren't quite as successful against Tennessee? Are they going to play even slower? Are they going to try to reduce play volume to get him out of there safely? Are they going to get more conservative if they've got a lead? There's a lot of different questions that I have with the way that the Houston Texans, A, might call the game strategically, as well as B, just have C.J. Stroud and how effective he is off of 2 weeks, having not played with the concussion, that I'm leery of laying the points with the Houston Texans, even though the line clearly moves in their direction all week with the news that he is likely to play. And then he got upgraded today. You got Will Levis on the other side, a pass here or there could hit home and that could swing the game. And he chucks deep a ton. And you got Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry set an NFL record gaining just 10 yards on 20 touches the last time these teams played a couple of weeks ago. Derrick Henry, I mean, he should do a lot better this week. He historically has done really well against the Houston Texans, but they really slowed him down in that last game out. So I have a lot of question marks in this one on both sides of the ball.
Steelers getting 3.5 in Seattle. They haven't won there in 40 years.
Yeah, this one's tough. I don't really have an opinion side or total. The Steelers need to come out here and try to establish a ground game, in my opinion. Mason Rudolph might find success, but so many of those plays that they had last week were just broken plays where they got guys out in space. And true enough, that's the way that George Pickens has been playing a lot this season. And I was thankful that he got me over his receiving touchdowns prop. It wasn't the way I imagined it would go for him this season, but he got to the finish line. Nevertheless, that was one of my stronger props bets of the year, was over George Pickens receiving touchdowns. But I don't have anything on this game, Scott. I really have not bet it, and I haven't really spent a whole lot of time digging into it either.
Denver is laying 3.5, 36.5 is the number against the Chargers in the Mile High City.
The way that you beat the Chargers, or the way that you beat the Broncos, is by running on them because their run defense is terrible. What can the Chargers not do? They can't run the football. And so for those reasons, I backed the Denver Broncos when these two teams met 3 weeks ago. And it's the same reason that I'm backing the Denver Broncos again this week. Now, you got a new quarterback there for the Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson, moving to the bench. He's soon to be cut. I don't know that it changes things dramatically. I still think the offensive structure in general will be quite similar for Sean Payton's offense here. I think it's just a new quarterback with different types of execution, and hopefully it can't be much worse than when Russ was there. But I don't think he's going to overhaul things on this week heading into this one. But I do think against Easton Stick that they should be able to do well enough. And the key is Joshua Palmer for the Chargers is still in concussion protocol, has not been upgraded yet. If they're without him and Keenan Allen, it's going to be tough for them to cover this number.
When we come back, we'll look at the Bengals and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Kansas City's laying 7.44 is the number. And the Sunday Nighter, Green Bay and Minnesota. It's a pick 'em at the bank in Minneapolis. 44.5 is the number in that one. We'll hit both those games and wrap it up with Warren on a Thursday CNC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Warren, the Chiefs sound really banged up going into this game. At least they're at home at Arrowhead against the Bengals.
Yeah, I just got the injury report just released. Isaiah Pacheco is still out. Donovan Smith is still out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their other running back, he's now sick. Legarius Sneed and Kadarius Toney, none of those guys practiced today. Second straight day for most of them of missing practice. So we'll have to see how many of these guys they get back. This Cincinnati Bengals defense is nowhere near the force that it has been in years past. And this is a ripe opportunity for the Kansas City Chiefs offense to try to get back on track a little bit. This Chiefs defense, the Chiefs offense should be able to have some success against a defense that does not have its run stopper, but look who's on the injury report. Both of the Chiefs running backs, number one and number two. So I just don't know where the Chiefs are going to turn to in this game, but there is opportunity to get back on track against this Bengals defense. They are abhorrent.
Green Bay and Minnesota, the Vikings, it's a pick 'em. They're going to go with the rookie Hall at quarterback.
Yeah, look, Jaren Hall, when he played the Atlanta Falcons earlier this year, I was on his rushing yardage prop over. He was definitely going to hit that before he was concussed and was ruled out for the rest of the game. I might be looking at what they post for this one because he does like to run the football a lot. The market certainly disagreed with this being the proper move if the Minnesota Vikings are trying to win this game, because this line crashed back down to a pick 'em. It was a 2. The total dropped from 46.5 all the way down to 44. It's looking like an under and an opportunity for the Green Bay Packers to get back on track themselves. This defense is just terrible. We'll see how they fare against Jared Hall.
I feel sorry for the kid. Either way, anyway, you slice it. All right, Warren, great stuff today. Big game tonight, Jets and Browns at the Dog Pound in Cleveland. Saturday, the Lions and Cowboys. Sunday, a full spate of games. That's going to be awesome. Have an incredible New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Enjoy the college football playoff games and enjoy the games on Saturday and Sunday. One game Saturday, full schedule Sunday. Great job on C2C. We'll see you again next week, Ryan. Thanks, buddy.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.